Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, hanging out with all of you, this is Other Center. I'm Kat Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and it's nice to be in this galaxy.
And I'm Jennifer Landa, and ready to punch it.
What we're doing here is sort of an Other Center life-ranked edition. If you've been listening to the show over the last week or two, you know that with the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes still in full effect, we have made the decision, and it was a tough decision, and it was a decision that maybe weighed on our hearts, but we made a decision that was right with our hearts to move away from our normal programming for now to talk about other things in support of the strikes and in support of unions that we are involved in directly, adjacently, Beverly Hills adjacent, SAG adjacent, SAG eligible, independent producers work for SAG, all those things that we are in addition to podcasters. So if you want to get the full story on that, you go to our most recent episode in which we talked about acting. But what we're going to do here now, and shortly I should say, is do a ranked episode. We love doing our Star Wars Stars Ranked episodes. I used to have a series on my old podcast feed called Life Ranked. Joseph has had a show. It's still going, technically, right, Joseph? Called Obsessed.
Pretty long hiatus at this point.
Hey, a hiatus has not the end of the journey or chapter yet. So we're going to do that. Before we do that, we do want to remind you that, hey, this show is sponsored by Audible, and you can get an audio book on us. We're going to tell you a book we think you can recommend, Audible. And I don't have the copy in front of me, but I'm just going from memory. It has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player. A lot of people out there, you love audiobooks. You put those books in your ears. You walk around. You do work around the house. And you take in the books that either you love or you want to love. And Jen, we do have a Four Center Recommends, and this one comes from you. I should say Other Center Recommends, and it comes from you. What do you have?
Oh, this is a great one that I have been really enjoying. I didn't want to finish it because it was so, so good. It is called Tomorrow, Tomorrow, Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. It's a coming of age story. And this is from Goodreads. So I just wanted to be able to give a good synopsis. In this exhilarating novel, two friends, often in love, but never lovers, come together as creative partners in the world of video game design, where success brings them fame, joy, tragedy, duplicity, and ultimately a kind of immortality. It is so good. As we talked about in the last episode, I'm all obsessed about specificity. This is so specific. These characters feel so real. You get so invested in their story. Highly recommend it.
That's a great choice. I'm looking at it right now on the Audible website. So you can go to audibletrial.com/4Center. That's audibletrial.com/4Center and try tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow on us. Help the show and help yourself.
All right, it's the title of the book, and that's how often we want you to get a free audiobook from Audible. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
So there you go. We are going to dive into the show. For those who know how we rank things, it's going to be the same thing. We got a list, 5-1, but it's always Joseph and I, or sometimes me and a guest, or Joseph and a guest, but this isn't a guest situation. This is Jennifer Landa. But Jennifer, I think this might be the first time you've ranked things on 4Center/Other Center, right?
That's right. I rank them at home by myself. I sometimes rank them in reels, but this time we get to rank them together. I'm looking forward to it.
This is going to be fun. And we decided today that we're going to rank something that often does sneak into our conversations. And it's a conversation about food, but more specifically, it's a conversation about comfort food. These can be the items. These can be the group of items, maybe the brands, or some of my list might have concepts of things that we go to when we need comfort. The definition of comfort might be up for not debate, but up for certain points of view here today as well. What kind of comfort do you need when you're stuffing this food into your mouth? That is what we're doing here today. I think it makes sense. Joseph, any preamble thoughts before we dive into the rank here?
One quick thing about the Other Center situation, because like often when we do, it wasn't really a normal news show that we did as our last episode. It was that acting discussion, but we recorded it when we recorded our news. And like almost always, we got scooped.
Right. Yes.
News came out while we were recording. So we had made this decision about focusing on Other Center for the time being and talking about our galaxy, not the other galaxy. And then as soon as we were done recording, Jen found the updated guidelines from SAG-AFTRA specifically about podcasts. And I think there's been lots of confusion, lots of discussion, and we had been making decisions by looking at some of the just the guidelines for influencers and translating that to podcasts. But for people who are still curious, SAG-AFTRA came out with some very, very clear podcast guidelines. So I also just wanted to point people to that if they're curious.
Yes, absolutely. Typical fashion for our podcast. Episode out, more information shows up. And there's a lot of different podcasts out there, a lot of different YouTube channels and brands who have a different approach or just different needs or different involvement and skin in the game, quite frankly. And there's a lot of different ways to go forth in the next few months. And a lot of folks who we love who are making, I think, the right decisions for them. And we support them as well. So
agreed.
They might need some comfort and they might need some food during these times.
Yeah, I love this topic because I think all food is comfort food to me. That's my other preamble of like I when I'm stressed, I just like as long as I can at the end of the day sit down and eat something that is not disgusting to me and watch something on the television, I can get through anything. So that's my starting point.
Yeah, that's something that might come up. The location of where you eat the foods is key as well. Jen, any preamble thoughts? How many food items did you debate in your head before writing them down?
I'm still thinking of more. I'm an emotional eater, which, you know, that's another podcast. So I'm very tied to my food. I love food. So this is going to be fun.
Fun indeed. Well, let's dive on in here. As I said up top, and for those who listen to the ranked shows in the past, they know we worked 5-1. No honorable mentions today. They might just show up in the conversation anyway. But if we had honorable mentions, this would be a two-hour podcast, and we're trying to move this along. Justin, we're going to begin this list. Our favorite comfort foods with your number five.
My number five, I think, starts off with something that is both universal and specific. I think this comes up on a lot of comfort lists, but it also sets the stage for my diet choices because almost everything in my list is cheese related. My number five is macaroni and cheese, which, yeah, right. I mean, I think I've certainly encountered people who don't like macaroni and cheese, or they have it kind of in a like, yeah, you know, that's like teddy bears and macaroni and cheese go together. You should grow out of them. And other people are like, oh no, I've got a whole style and I make it. And I like gourmet stuff. And you know, it macaroni and cheese is just a base to put weird crap in it. So I know lots of people have lots of different relationships to it. I will absolutely order macaroni and cheese in a restaurant. One of my favorite meals that I had in the last year, I was at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in Portland, and I wanted something kind of, I was having a martini, and then I wanted something kind of just a light, not a big heavy meal. And I just broke down and I said to the server, cause they had just like a bunch of like giant steaks and, you know, huge concept salads. And I was like, is there any way I could have a martini and then off the children's menu, just order some macaroni and cheese?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah. And it was one of the most comforting meals I've ever had. It was a nice, reasonable portion of macaroni and cheese.
I love that.
Yeah. No, it's great. I think that's, you know, you talk about, you know, growing up and getting strong and not being afraid. I'm not afraid to order from the children's menu anymore. That's strength to me. Anyway, I could do a whole macaroni and cheese ranked. For me, you know, I grew up with the Kraft, you know, as many of us in our age bracket did. But for me, the comfort macaroni and cheese that I make for myself, which is one of the only things that I'm actually good at making, is the Annie's box macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And then very controversial what people add. I cut up like little cherry tomatoes and I add red pepper, and it gives it a little bit of spice, a little bit of kick. When my wife's here, she's always like, peas, add peas. And I'm always like three of them. Otherwise, they will take over everything. They're an invasive species of flavor, peas.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is wonderful. This is a great way to start the thing here. By the way, the Annie's brand makes a wonderful vegan alternative version there, if you're into that. In fact, I have two boxes. The great for about 2 weeks has been like, hey, when you making that? A lot to get into here that you're right. We actually could do Mac and Cheese Center. I'm a connoisseur as well. Our old friend, JT, connoisseur as well. We used to go to every restaurant we could get to. But it speaks to a lot of things of, having the courage to order off something that society says you shouldn't is very important here. And as much as we talk about the power and maybe sometimes the danger of nostalgia in our space franchises and other franchises, there's a nostalgia in this food, right, Joseph? But I don't think there's a danger. Just taste. That is wonderful.
No, it is. It is absolutely a comforting taste. It's a comforting sensation. Many of my choices are soft, cheesy things. Maybe that says something about me. I don't know. But there's a comfort in that of just it tastes good and it goes down easy. I'm going to stop talking now. I'm done. That's my number five.
That's a great number five. Dad, any thoughts here on mac and cheese? And I'll say this, and you know, I don't mean to cast you in one role here, but mac and cheese for me does have a what mom used to make type of vibe. You got some mac and cheese cooking in the house at all?
I just made the Annie's mac and cheese yesterday. We make it at least once a week. And the funny thing about mac and cheese is that it can be so elevated, and you might go to like a, you know, not Michelin star, let's say, but a really fancy restaurant. And they'll have their take of mac and cheese with some, maybe some breadcrumbs on top or different types of cheeses. And I love that. But my kids don't. And so it's like, we have to, I have to ask, what kind of mac and cheese? I just need a basic for my kids, because they, oh man, cherry tomatoes sounds great. I might try that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do that. I do that too. I add
you just
red onions and cherry tomatoes or any kind of tomato. Yeah. I do that. And it's fascinating too, Jen. And this episode might turn into an accidental corporate sponsorship type of episode. It's hard not to mention, but like, one of my favorite mac and cheese in the world is Wood Ranch, has what they call Lauren's mac and cheese.
Yeah,
I'm either really down or really up. That's the extra I order when I go over there and have a meal. So.
Oh man, I miss Wood Ranch. They closed it at the Grove.
They did.
Rex Caruso.
Don't you worry. Downtown Burbank still going strong, mostly because Mark Ellis and I keep it going. But
billionaires ruin everything. I have one other mac and cheese question for you, and then you can move on, because I think this will also set some standards. I'm very curious about consistency. I understand many people would be disgusted, but my mac and cheese is almost soup like. I like to put lots of milk and fake butter in it. But are you both macaroni and cheese, does it have a sauce or does it have a cream in your minds?
I think I definitely understand that the standard of excellence of mac and cheese is that the bowl of mac and cheese should sound squishy. But I'm with you. There's times where I've over milked or over oat milk, and I'm actually okay with it.
It's quite delicious.
I do have, Grace will confirm this. I'm so sorry to her. I can be a bit of a slurper, like I'm a 6-year-old. So it's not a great combo for the house. But I'm with you. A little watery mac and cheese ain't a bad thing.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We're off and running here. And that's just number five for one of us. My number five, Jen, I want you to get the vibe here. My number five is, like Joseph, it's an all encompassing term here. But I do have some specifics, and it's something I've mentioned before, but I do have an affection for frozen burritos.
That's
my number five, frozen burritos. And the reason I didn't rank this higher, because this is something that I have almost every day now, which might not be a good thing. This is what I had for breakfast today. I had a turkey and sausage one. I do try to maintain a vegan lifestyle as much as I can at home. It's hard to turn these ones down. Here's the thing. I it's such a regular routine part of my life that I almost don't count it as comfort anymore. But the comfort is the routine. Maybe it's an anchor in the wild waters of life that I can return to for lunch or dinner. It's quick and easy. I do love burritos overall. But if I find myself, I go to a restaurant and a burrito is an option, I actually don't go to it. I go to something else, tostadas, things like that. And I am a giant fan of this brand. Again, unintentional brand sponsorship, not a sponsor, Red's Frozen Burritos. I love the packaging. I love the bright colors on the different flavors. I love all the flavors. My favorite is the organic cheese quesadilla burrito that I can only get at Sprouts, which is a highfalutin, high-end grocery store, which is disappointing. But they got a lot of different versions of them, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's just, it is the comfort of routine. It is, you know, it's what I'll have after we record two or three episodes of Four Center and I got to sit down and edit. I slap it in the microwave for 3 minutes. Occasionally, if I'm feeling saucy, I do stovetop more than microwave in my life these days, but not with the frozen burritos. And it's, I dare I say, when I turn the corner at the grocery store and the grocery store is, because some of them don't stock the Reds as much as the other place. It's like a frozen burrito Disneyland for me. It's just light green, turquoise, purple, blue, yellow. I get to point to the color I like and get that flavor. And that's why it's my number five frozen burritos.
You're speaking my language here. I love this. Instead of the wall of action figures, the wall of Red's colorful burritos. Absolutely love that. I'm curious about what you, I love what you're saying about comfort is part of it is the taste and the flavor and the nostalgia, but also the routine. The thing I've run into a bunch, and I'm really curious what you think, Ken, if this is what you mean as well. I've been so lucky to have lots of creative pursuits and the time to do them that sometimes I talk to people who just who get really creative about food. And for some reason that breaks me of just like I made a million choices, you know, about the thing I'm writing today. I have no creativity left for food. I just want something that I do not have to think about. Is that what you mean by like the comfort of it's just there and you don't have to think about it?
Yeah, I'm one of those folks. I've always kind of enjoyed cooking, but never was great at it. And I was one of those pandemic, all right, this is what I do. It's also a little cheaper. It could be a little more healthier. And I got really into cooking in the pandemic, and I'm still into it. But nothing can – when you're in a pinch, you got to have those options. It's like a quarterback looking in the field for the secondary receiver. You got to be able to throw it. And to me, having a stack of burritos to choose from and go to when you're in a pinch – and it's a fun meal, you know, it's a fun meal. You slice through it. You got everything inside. It's easily contained. So it could be eaten on a couch while you edit podcasts pretty easily. And it can be eaten fast, though I'm too fast of an eater. So, yeah, I think you're speaking some truth here, Joseph, that it is all those things. And it is a quick but fulfilling alternative.
Yeah.
Jen, frozen.
Yeah. Well, they're not my jam, but my husband loves them for the reason that you just said. I mean, when he was going into the office, he would just take a frozen burrito. That way it's just it's a quick meal. It's easy. It fills you up. You feel like you it had something as opposed to just, you know, yogurt or something like that. So yeah, he loves them.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into them. I don't know.
All right. All right. I'll send you the link to Red. Yeah. And it's funny. I like father, like son, my dad, and it was not, but it wasn't passed down. It wasn't, we didn't have these a lot when I was growing up. But if you go to my house, my parents' house, my dad has the same thing. He has like 10 frozen burritos and he's a hot sauce connoisseur to the point where it's affected his health. His doctor has told him to stop and he won't. He has those like, this is the hot sauce that you have to keep in a special case, but I put it on my frozen burritos. So I inherited some love for burritos transferred in the genes, I guess. So that is my number five. But Jennifer, this is historic. Your first rank here on Other Center. What is your number five comfort food?
My number five is a salad. Now, hear me out. I like a hearty salad. And like you, Ken, this is a meal that I have every single day. Right. And I have been made fun of by people who witness my salad making. Because I put a lot of toppings. I like crisp romaine.
Yes.
I like to add artichoke hearts. Sometimes I'll add tuna or I'll have sliced chicken breast. I like to add cherry tomatoes, maybe some cucumbers. Beets have been added into the mix. Mm-hmm. I like it big and hearty and with Italian dressing and a giant bowl. And my dad, I've eaten salad since I was a kid. And my dad used to make fun of me. He'd say, the lettuce is doing the backstroke in your dressing, which is true. I just coat it in dressing, which is not healthy at all. But yeah, like it's a thing. And I have it every day and I've had salads for years.
I love it.
But
this is beautiful. And big and hearty with Italian dressing has to be a Beastie Boy lyric that I haven't heard.
Big, I mean, in the big bowl, right? Like a big giant bowl. You know, California Chicken Cafe. I highly recommend their California Chicken Cafe salad. Mm-hmm. Oh my, it's got all, and it has pita chips to add a little bit of crunch. Their Italian dressing. I get two jumbos and I just pour it on there.
Look, ma'am, you only ordered one salad. I know.
I know. They used to charge me and now they just know me. They're like, just give it to the lady.
This is great. This is a great choice. I do love a good salad. Grace is wonderful at making salads. I don't have the time or patience to do. I'm a prepackaged salad guy, but I'm at a restaurant. And the dressing, I'm with you. I support you. I support runny mac and cheese. I support salad dressing overload. I've mentioned him already, but our good friend Mark Alice, he loves eating right. He got into great shape over the last couple of years. If you go to dinner with him or lunch, he'll get a salad more often than not. And he does the thing that drives me crazy because it's so responsible. He's always like, can I get that dressing on the side? And I'm like, you monster. I want it in there. I want a second one. I don't want to taste anything but the dressing, even though I do love the rest of it. I had a salad last night. I was at the Flappers Comedy Club doing a show, and it was a lightly attended show. So when that happens, sometimes a lot of comics will sit in the room and support each other. And I ordered dinner, and I ordered a salad thinking, oh, this is great. And I forgot it was kind of a quiet show with not a lot of people. And I'm in the corner just crunch, crunch. I love that romaine. I love that romaine.
You should have got a soup and salad so you could have slurped as well. A little crunch and slurp for Flappers.
That's got to be the crunch, because the worst, you know, are the field greens, the mixed field greens.
Yes.
And when I go to certain family members' homes and they say that they're going to offer some salad with the meal, I'm like, shoot, they'd give me the mixed field greens, a little squeeze of lemon, a drizzle of olive oil. And that is, and I'm like, it was over I'm not going to call anyone out, but it was over Thanksgiving one year. And I was crying to my husband. I'm like, this is not a Thanksgiving meal. Because again, it's about comfort, right? Food is my comfort. And during Thanksgiving, I want hearty salads. Mm. I want to feel like warm and full, not with the drizzle of olive oil.
Look, I'll take a turkey salad. If you put some turkey, mashed potatoes on lettuce, let's do it. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving salad. I want to do that.
That's good.
Well, there you go. That's our number five. The show, we're going to try to keep it moving. Number four. Number four. We'll start with me. We'll do a rotating thing like it's a game show here. I'll start with my number four here. And it is, again, kind of a general thing. Something I don't have as much anymore, which is a shame, which might be why, I've been a little down lately. It's frozen yogurt, a.k.a. yes, Froyo. This is something I don't remember. I'll have to look up when frozen yogurt entered the world. I don't remember that exactly. I do remember, though, the mid-80s, where suddenly everywhere were frozen yogurt shops. And in Arroyo Grande, California, in the Arroyo Grande Village, which is this quaint little Stars Hollow section of the town, there was a frozen yogurt shop that's not long gone. And my weekly routine, because I inherited my mom's sweet tooth, so my mom and I and our sister, my sister and my dad occasionally, he didn't like them as much, we'd head to this frozen yogurt shop. I get some frozen yogurt and a New York seltzer, the original, not the re-releases, the New York seltzers, while watching people pump quarters into, what was that game, Dragon's Lair?
Dragon Lance, I think.
The one that was like a cartoon but it's video game.
Yeah.
That's a big childhood thing, and that has stuck with me. And whether it's Menchie's is okay, yogurt land, a frozen yogurt town, or yogurtville, I don't care what they're called. I like going in there. It is quite the test of self determination, self control, agency, power, and how you help society flow when you go into a yogurt shop and it's all self serve now. Mm-hmm. And the test of humanity, that is the frozen yogurt shop, of are you going to let someone get in front of you? Are you going to hog all the free samples? What do you do with the topping line? What is your toppings? Is it appropriate, as I think it is, to put a layer of yogurt, put a topping layer, then put another layer of yogurt, and then to the toppings? You got to do it that way. Otherwise, it's not dispersed equally throughout the frozen yogurt. And I have a lot of thoughts on this, but after Grace made the decision that she was going to go full vegan and I was going to follow her on that pursuit as best I could, frozen yogurt, which is a treat that she liked as well, went by the wayside. But recently, I will shout out Four Center listener Mike Fink. He actually said, hey, I'm familiar with your neck of the woods. There's this spot over here in Glendale you got to go. It's called Yoga Ert. And I would recommend the name, but it is this wonderful vegan frozen yogurt. And frozen yogurt, Joseph Jennifer, has returned to my comfort food list.
That is amazing. The video game is Dragon's Lair. So sorry, I thought you said Dragon Slayer, and I said the wrong thing entirely. So sorry, other center listeners, it's Dragon's Lair. So a little correction there. But I like a theme that's emerging here, Ken, where a lot of us seem to be interested in various foods as a substrate, as What is a base that I can use to deliver other foods to myself?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's a good question here. Jen, thoughts on this? Frozen yogurt and more? And where do you put the layers of toppings?
You know, my connection to frozen yogurt was in the 80s, and they had a frozen yogurt / video store, video rental store, video rental place. It was like a mom and pop Blockbuster, basically. And it was so much fun because we go pick our movie for the night, and then we would go get our frozen yogurt. And it was a genius idea. Now I go every week with my kids. I don't get it because I'm kind of lactose intolerant a little bit. But my kids, every week we go to Yogurtland, and I swear to God, every single time I'm like, stop, that's enough. That's enough. And my daughter's like, gummy worms. I'm like, no, two, you're going to rot your teeth. So it's a real lesson in restraint. It's just taking kids to frozen yogurt places.
It is. I would love to do, maybe do a docu-series where, Joseph, I would love to take you and your love and interest and understanding of personal themes and themes. And I would love for you to theme out everyone's decisions in yogurt chefs.
That would be a really fun, like, we'll take the Myers-Briggs yogurt test. Who are we based on our frozen yogurt choices?
Are we? I love that. That's my number four. Jen, we'll go to you, though. What is your number four comfort food?
My number four are chips. I am obsessed with chips. I've never met a kettle chip I don't like. Jalapeno, sea salt and vinegar, salt and pepper. Yep. It's all about the crunch and the texture. I like, that's my daughter. She's a thicker
yogurt. We hear it.
She's like, is it time? Is it Friday? Fun day Friday? No. Chips, if they put them out in a bowl somewhere, forget it. I have to restrain myself because I will just, I'll eat a lot of them, especially if nobody else is eating them. Then I'm like, well, I don't want the host to feel bad that they put out these chips and nobody ate them. Mm-hmm. So I'll have that. Chips and nachos, chips in a sandwich. One of my favorite discoveries was learning that chips in the UK does not mean the chips that I'm thinking of as an American. It's French fries. Yeah. So that was really fun because I love French fries as well. But oh my gosh, I used to eat chips every day, not with my salad, with a sandwich. Mm-hmm. But that had to stop.
Did you eat them with the sandwich, or did you lace them under the bread for a crunch in the sandwich?
I would savor them as my dessert. I kind of prefer salty over sweet. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah, that's I prefer both sweet and salty separately. But a lot of times when I have chips with a sandwich, either I eat it first to get it out of the way, or I save it for the reward after I get through the sandwich. It's a game. love this, Joseph. I want to get your thought on chips. I will say this. We're big fans of that brand. You talked about the kettle brand, truffle. I don't even love truffle flavor stuff, but the truffle chips are good. The salt and vinegar are one of my favorites. They have a brand that finally for me, Jen, was a bridge too far. I bought it with much excitement. It's called Farm Stand Ranch. And I was like, ooh, this is amazing. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. And about three handfuls in, I was like, it's too much. It's too much.
Really?
I can't finish the bag. So just be careful. You can't have too much of a good thing.
Farm Stand Ranch, is it like a ranch flavor and then the smell of a farm?
it's ranchy. It's ranchy. I don't know. Yeah, it's a crunchy, creamy, herb blasted is how they describe it. But we opened it up and Grace does not love ranch flavored dressings or something like that. And our whole house smelled like you ordered a salad. It smelled like Jen Landa had made a salad.
I might enjoy it. I love how it's farm ranch to imply that it's not a cool ranch. This is fresh and whole ingredients. It's chips.
That's a great
one. It's chips. Yeah. I love the British crisps that, in particular, the ones that are just combining two, flavors, just I think to challenge people. It'll be prawn and Indian oil. Those are the ones that I got a lot when I lived there briefly.
You ain't kidding. My first foray to London, of course, was in April. And even in the sandwiches, I've turned it to our friend Maddie Gunner. I'm like, Why do you guys have like prawn and praline sandwiches? What is going on over here? I'm not, no wonder you're all dour and depressed in the cold, foggy weather. You got these weird sandwiches, you know, brie and peanuts. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I love that there. And I do. I was disappointed, Jen, to learn, as we all did years ago, that chips means French fries, but crisps is a great name. I do enjoy a bag of crisps.
I'm getting hungry.
We always record before lunch. Joseph, you're number four.
My number four is really leaning into the comfort and the soft and the cheese again. You are both talking about like things that have some zip and some excitement. I do like that in food sometimes, but I think a lot of times for me, a comfort food is a food that's just like, calm down. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be so ranchy. Let's just calm down. And this is one of my calm down foods. I was not aware of their existence until my wife made them, tuna boats. Looking online, because I have no idea how prevalent or how regional tuna boats are. Looks like most people put them in like hot dog buns or whatever. But the way my wife makes them is it's just a piece of toasted bread with tuna on it, covered by, you guessed it, cheese. And every once in a while we'll go through a time where like that's a go-to thing for like lunch on the weekends or whatever, and I'll forget about it, and then I'll be like, oh, tuna boats, can we have tuna boats? Like a small child, because it's just protein, cheese, and it's so calm. It's so very calm, perhaps too calm. Anyway, number four, tuna boats.
Tuna boats. I love tuna. In fact, I have some tuna I gotta make this week, but I'm gonna explore the world of tuna boats a little bit more. This isn't.
I just Googled it. I literally did tuna boat, and a tuna boat came up, not the sandwich. I had to clarify.
Yes,
but they look delicious. Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing, Jed. But I typed in tuna boat recipe, so now I get some ideas. Got some ideas later. I don't want to spend too much time on tuna, I guess, but incorrectly so, Joseph, I've attached this to like Minnesota. I don't know. You know, it seems like a cold spring day meal to me, and that's completely wrong. It's completely wrong to me, but I'm going there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't Google enough, because I also just Googled tuna boats just now and got a bunch of grizzled sailors, which is fun. Man in the tuna boat. But I've never asked. I think there are a lot of jokes about Midwestern Minnesota in particular food that is just, you know, soft and gooey. And that is definitely a part of the tradition of where I'm from.
Love that there. All right. We're cruising along as fast as we can. We're talking about food. We're now to our number three choice for comfort foods. Jen, we're going to start with you. What is your number three comfort food?
My number three comfort food is our French fries, similar to chips.
There you go.
The thing about French fries, though, is that they are not only just a snack or a late night snack. They really can also be a meal if you get a giant amount of them. So I have Five Guys every week because, again, my kids. Their fries are consistently freaking delicious. I really like how they make their fries, because that's a big problem sometimes, is that you're excited to get the fries from a new place and it's just not what you're expecting. Like crinkle fries, which can go great or really stale and like raw potato-y. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a fine line. Steak fries. I can always count on, if I'm going to a diner or a deli, the steak fries are probably going to be pretty darn good. So that's a must. I love French fries. There was a time, especially during college, where I used to have French fries. Del Taco French fries and a 99-cent rib burrito every single day. I ended up getting very sick.
True. I yell into the clouds a lot that some of the best, most underrated French fries in the fast food world are Del Taco crinkle fries. And the Del Double Cheese is the most underrated hamburger in the fast food world, because you wouldn't think to get it at Del Taco. But I'm with you on that.
This is news to me. I didn't know that Del Taco had either of those things.
It did. Next road trip we take Joseph to a convention far, far away. Because I prefer it over Taco Bell. Now it's a whole different show. The Double Del cheese. Me, Christian Ruvakaba, JT, that's our favorite burger in the fast food world. It's interesting. Yeah. But fries. Anyways, back to the fries. As we call them in our house, Frenchies. So sometimes if I'm at a restaurant, I'll text Grace, hey, you want me to bring you back some Frenchies? And I'll get a yay Frenchies. And it's a comfort food in this house as well. And you can't go wrong, right? You can't go wrong.
No. Now, this is where I'll stand up for something firm and firm and hard. I don't like it when they're all wilty. It makes me feel like I'm afraid they're not fully cooked. Jennifer, do you have issues with soft, wilty fries?
Oh, yes. And I've had those where it just feels like they're not cooked all the way. I like it where they're almost a little bit burnt. Five Guys, again, really mastered it. Because at times, like, the ends are crispy, but the center is nice and soft. Ooh, they've perfected the art of it. Five Guys plug.
And are waffle fries an abomination to you, Jennifer, or do you like them?
Oh, God, yeah. The Criscrut, no. They just, they don't taste like French fries to me. All I taste is, like, the texture, and they always feel very hard and stale to me. It's really tough to get crisscross, whatever. Wait, what are they called? What do you call them?
Well, I can call them waffle fries.
Waffle fries. Yeah. I don't like those. I'm sorry.
All right. There we go. Some controversy. After we stop recording, Jennifer and I are going to fight about waffle fries.
Hey, look, there's a lot of, I've been very passionate about my dislike about a lot of things about In-N-Out, and it does kind of start with the fries. But at the same time, if you were to show up right now with the thing of In-N-Out fries, I'd be like, yeah, of course I want one.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. Pigtail fries, curly fries, big in our house as well. There you go. That's a great number three. Joseph, what is your number three?
My number three, just like when we do different kinds of ranked, I'm going to cheat and get two things under one topic. I'm going to say pasta in general. I think it's a debate about whether, macaroni and cheese would count as a pasta dish. But two specific pasta dishes, because I feel like that's kind of something that you can almost never go wrong in a restaurant. It's shocking when you do, but it's like a pretty safe thing to get if you're at a convention, busy, blah, 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 all that. My two most comforting favorite pasta dishes right now are one, a pasta that you get out in the world, because I think, as we're talking about, comfort food can be, you make it at home, it can be fast food, but it can also be fine sit-down dining. Talked about it before. It's the restaurant Ken introduced me to. Ken and I talk about it all the time. The Smokehouse in Burbank. The dish, the steak Sinatra. It's called steak Sinatra because there's some steak in it. But I've never been able to find out. Like, I would assume, because Sinatra used to live right there when he first moved to L.A., that this was a dish that he was probably like, ask the kitchen. This is my Sinatra headcanon. Hey, make it like mom used to make, because it's just pasta. It's big tomatoes, big meat, big. It's just juicy and delicious, and just like a stick to your gut meal. And I've never had a different thing at Smokehouse, which I probably need to explore.
I would agree, but I'm just suggesting that you try the thing I always order. So.
But now it's like I've convinced almost everyone I've been there with to try the steak Sinatra, and no one has ever been disappointed. I'm normally not one of those like culinary, like James Bond, here, let me order for you. but this is the one dish where it works. The other thing is speaking of our partners and our little real life dynamics, my other favorite pasta is something I call wife pasta, because Sarah experiments and she's kind of got it. There's a range, but she makes a specific kind of it. It's usually like rotini or something just straightforward for the pasta. But then the sauce is like a combination of wine and some random spices that at this point are a mystery and a secret to me. then too much cheese, which is my fault. But there's pasta is one of those amazing things where it's so simple. It's like two to three ingredients, and yet the details make all the difference in the world. And I could never, ever explain to someone or have anyone else make me wife pasta, because it's a specific things that she does with the sauce. And I can probably tell people to put far too much cheese yeah. on it, and often spinach and goat cheese. Oh, it's great. Anyway, wife pasta. I can't recommend it because only my wife makes it. So,
hey, look, I'm 47 years old. I still want my mom to make me toast because she makes it in a wonderful mommy way. So I understand people who make it well. My number three, it's so funny that you went this direction, Joseph. My number three, as often does with us, we don't really share a list or plan the list, at least together or as a team. My number three is a smokehouse favorite, the staple, the most famous garlic cheese toast in the world. It is the smokehouse garlic bread. I actually have a generous gift card to Smokehouse that's been sitting on my desk for about 2 months. Just life's been too busy, and I'm waiting to go. That is, I love that restaurant. I love introducing it to people. I still have to go the other direction to Musso and Frank with you as well, Joseph. I just love it. I love it. And I love doing the test of people who've never tried it, the restaurant overall. But then you start with the garlic cheese toast, if you can have the cheese. Some people can't. I get it. And people go through a range of emotions. They all land, I'm telling you, they all land on the same spot, that it's the best they've ever had. But technically, I would say it might be some of the worst. It's not a high quality bread. The cheese kind of feels like Dorito dust sprinkled on bread. And you look at it, and the presentation isn't gorgeous. And everyone kind of stares at it, and they look at me, and they're like, "Huh?" And that next, you know, they've eaten the whole barrel. My friends Scott and Scott Anthony and his wife Zara Lisbon, wonderful author. I brought them there for Christmas dinner. Same reaction. I don't know. Next thing you know, they're like, can we get another basket? I brought in Michael Hernandez, actor, brother of Oscar Isaac. We became friends over the years, and he came to L.A. We've been talking about this for years. And he finally came to L.A., and I said, I'm going to take you to Smokehouse. I picked him up at his hotel. We went to Smokehouse. He took the bite of the bread, and he was like, oh, okay. And I saw the look on his face. He was disappointed. And he didn't say it, and then he took another bite. Next thing you know, he finished the entire basket. I had a couple of pieces, and he looks at me and goes, I got to tell you, I was going to tell you after the first couple of bites that this was really bad. I can't stop eating it. I can't stop. And Grace and I have put away two baskets at dinner. Where the dinner comes up, you're like, we're going to need this boxed because we ate the bread. And it just gives me joy. And it gives me joy spreading the joy of this bread. So that's my number three choice, the Smokehouse garlic cheese toast.
It is so good. It's a surprise, I think, too. It the presentation is great. I'm not going to spoil it, but yeah, it isn't exactly what people expect, and I think that really makes people doubt it. But it does almost remind me, the way you're describing it, Ken, of, I don't know when they invented it, but it has that sort of flair of like, this was made in the Depression or a time of rationing in a different country of like, we're going to make do, and it doesn't look like a lot, but it is a lot.
It has the vibe of cafeteria food as well, like not even like school cafeteria, but like, I don't know, at a summer camp or something. It's like easily mass produced bread snacks, but it's great. Jim, Joseph and I have spent a lot of time on this podcast, not just this episode, but the podcast, talking about Smokehouse. To the point where I think some friends of ours, like we, Alex and Molly Damon, we brought them there. Holden Diaz, we brought them there. Do you have a stance on Smokehouse overall and then the garlic cheese toast?
I've actually never been. What? I've never been. Yes, I have driven by it and I've said, hey, that's where Ken and Joseph go. And I've never had a chance to go just because it is a little bit further from where we are. But I actually, this year, after I was coming home from the picket and I was in the general vicinity, right, I was like, you know what? I know Ken and Joseph go during the holidays. I want to make sure I go with them this year. I want to try this. I want to try this magical place. Especially with that garlic cheese toast. It sounds like an enigma.
I just love, there's so much history there. So it goes like Sinatra, Carson, George Clooney, of course, Smokehouse Productions, the name of his production company, and then Scrimshaw Knapsack. That's the history. associated with That's my number three choice. We're up to our number two choices here. Joseph, what is your number two choice?
You know what? I had a hard time picking this, but I'm going to go with it because it's kind of different, but it is still in my theme of gooey. And I know this one is a bit of a controversy. It's clam chowder. I don't have it very often, and I have a can of it at home that I picked up, because like clam chowder to me isn't an at home. I don't think I've ever had it at home. And mom didn't say like, well, it's Thursday, clam chowder night at all. But it's always something that like when I'm at a restaurant and I'm really trying to find something that's going to be substantive, but isn't mm-hmm. going to be just like full of like gross stuff or like weird irresponsible spice experiments that the restaurant mm-hmm. shouldn't be doing. It is just so grounding and so wholesome. And the reason it's on my list is I was trying to remember what are happy memories of eating at a restaurant. Like three of them that came to my mind were all clam chowder. So I got to go with clam chowder for my number two.
There's been a lot of energy, a lot of joy on this list today. I am out on this. I'm out on this. Can't do it. My hometown area, Pismo Beach, famous for clams. When I first moved there, you could still legally clam on the beach. Luckily, they stopped that because you would routinely leave the beach with like 20 clams. And it was the city official symbol. There's a giant like fabricated clam as you enter into the town. It's wonderful. They dress it up during holidays. There's some wonderful clam chowder spots there, and I can't do it. I can't do it. Probably because when I was seven, we took our Volkswagen van to the beach. My dad did some clamming, and I was in the back seat. No seatbelt in that van back then. And my dad had put like six of the clams on the floor of the van, the Volkswagen van. And one of them, these puppies are still alive, man. And one of them, he was sticking its tongue out. Like, where am I? I was in the sand and I was scream crying as if a horror monster had just jumped into the van. I can't disassociate that, but I'm happy that clam chowder makes you happy.
Yeah. Well, next time I eat it, I'm going to picture it a tongue coming out of it.
Oh, no.
to challenge myself to understand your perspective. That makes a ton of sense, though. I gotta say, it's really funny if somebody said without any other context, like, yeah, my dad was driving, I was in the back and he was clamming. I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? And should we lower our voices? What are you talking about? Yeah, I love this. It's called clamming. Everybody knows.
Going clamming. yeah, we still use it because you can watch the sand kind of bubbles up and then you know that, hey, man, there's probably a clam under there. Anyways, it's a West Coast thing. It's an East Coast Maine thing. It apparently is a, you know, Minnesota heart and soul thing. I don't know. Jen, you're Southern California, West Coast base, Orange County area. There's some great beaches there. Clamming, clam chowder.
You know, I like clam chowder. I did like clam chowder in a bread bowl from the Bodine Sourdough Company, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Really delicious. That's also how I learned that I'm lactose intolerant a bit. So I can't have that kind of clam chowder. But I can have the Manhattan clam chowder, which is like the red clam chowder. I think it's got tomatoes in it. I'm not sure. I get it from Crab Cooker. And all I know is it doesn't have as much like milk or cream or something, so my body can handle it better. And it also has a little bit more of like a tartness to it, which I also appreciate.
A vote of confidence for tart clam chowder.
Wow. All right. From there, we're going to go to my number two choice here. I always put French fries in this spot. But I was trying to think again. This is kind of a concept. I apologize. It's not specific. But my comfort food, and we're talking comfort now, is car food. It shows up in jokes about gas station sandwiches that I do. It shows up on podcasts. A lot of people know I love 7-Eleven. They've never once sponsored me. I've been upset at that. What it really is comfort. I do love driving in a car and just hitting the road, and that's kind of a meditative thing for me. It's always been something I actually did inherit from my dad. He would do the same thing. And so I love grabbing a crappy sandwich that's not the best quality, but it has comfort attached to it. A drink, maybe a Twix, something that I can just put in a seat next to me and rip the package and go. And that has come from, I just need to get out of the house. I need to grab a snack. It's come from darkness. I used to have a lot of sad tweets that were jokes, but were real, where I would cry as I ate a sandwich in a car and wondering where my life is going and where my career is going. I spent My old job, I didn't get holidays. I was often working on holidays, but I did get Christmas off. But often I would drive down to Anaheim by myself to go to my grandparents' house where they would have El Pollo Loco dinner every night. That's their comfort food, even on the holidays. But on the way there, I'd stop by the gas station, fuel up, and I'd grab a sandwich. I used to joke, like, here's my holiday meal, me in a car. And again, there could be a little woe is me attached to it, but it's true comfort. And I recently did this. I was not feeling too up recently. And I was like, you know what I haven't done for a while? Just got in this car, grabbed a sandwich, grabbed a drink, and just driven. And that's what I did. And so sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's, a Padme's rumination in a car. And sometimes it's just meditative. And that's why I feel like I have to stick to it. It's a bunch of things. It's not just sandwiches, but it is car food, the concept, the comfort that is that thing. Jen, I don't know. I don't know if I'm crazy.
Yeah. That's deep. And there is something that's like being in your car, the comfort of your own car, your own space, right? Nobody's going to really bother you there, and being able to have that moment. There is something to be said about car food. I used to do that a lot before. Yeah. I would say sometimes when I have kids, I'm like, oh, finally I'm in the car by myself. Oh,
yeah.
You'll get a matcha latte or something and enjoy it in the car. Oh, it's nice.
I love this because I think, you know, we're talking about our comfort foods and joking about the how soupy, how soft, how hard, how firm. But that's also like the why of comfort food is sometimes not just about nostalgia, not just like, you know, mom or dad or whoever used to make, but also just kind of like checking in with parts of your life. And that's what you're talking about of like sometimes the most upsetting, most bad for you, the cheapest food can be the most settling because it's just sort of like it reconnecting with yourself and like good, bad, or otherwise. This is a truth. This is something that brings you peace and comfort or a space to look in the mirror while you eat this food. So I think what you said, Ken, was very, very beautiful. And I know you've been playing around with songs. If you want to write this, or if you want to help writing this, a tender ballad called Rip and Go about the beauty of communing with gas station food and how it helps you see your soul.
Might have to happen. Not only writing songs, we've now formed a band that I have no musical talent to be part of. We're called the Moonagers. And our first EP is coming out in the fall. And I have a really sad song, but I haven't completed the lyrics. So there's still room to rip and go. But I do like a song that you just played.
I can see the music video.
A lot of unicorns and wind-blown curtains is what I meant. So we're talking sad songs, sadness, good food, comfort. And Jen, we're up to your number two comfort food here.
Number two is sandwiches. This is a very specific kind of sandwich, though. I should be clear. It's more of like an Italian submarine type of sandwich. So there's one place called All About the Bread. It's off of Melrose and La Cibrea.
Yes.
They make their bread, I believe, every 30 minutes. And it's like crunchy. It's like that Dutch crunch, you know, but it's like airy and fluffy on the inside. And I get the Godfather. And I had to look this up because I was like, what's on this thing? Spicy capicola, mortadello, prosciutto di Parma, ham, Genoa salami, and provolone. It has lettuce, tomatoes, some sort of like hot pepper kind of spread, olives and stuff like that they put on top of it. It is so good. My mouth is watering just talking about this. It's gigantic. Like you could just have a half, but I always have the whole because I just can't stop myself. It tastes so delicious. You give me that and a Diet Coke and I'm, that's it. That's it. I'm like so happy. And I sometimes will go there if I've had a great day, right? Like I'm celebrating. I had a good audition, whatever it is. And sometimes I go there because I'm like, I need something to get me through this. I'm bummed out, right? So it's both of those things. It offers that kind of comfort. Oh man, that's delicious.
We're speaking in generalities, car foods and frozen yogurt, but like, I love that you're like, this is what I order. This is the menu item. This is down to the ingredient. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the comfort food is a friend who should be there for you when you're up and when you're down.
Yeah. And I was thankful that they survived the pandemic. I don't know if they have other locations, but I mean, I will often, if I haven't gone there for a while, I'm like, let me just check and see if they're still around. And they are.
So. There's one in Burbank. I live out in Burbank, but I don't know if it's the same because it just might be another pun bread name kind of sandwich shop. I'll have to check it out. I'll let you know.
Right. Let me know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We are ranking our comfort foods. We're up to number two. We are, or getting to our number one, I should say. We're going to take a quick break late in the show, but we do want to get a break in here. We come back. Our number one choices for comfort food. No honorable mentions, but maybe we'll find a way to talk about it. All right. Stick around here for more others.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Force Center Presents Other Center, a sort of life-ranked edition of the show. We're ranking comfort foods. I'm Ken Napsuk. That's Joseph Scrimshaw. And Jennifer Sandwich Landa here in the booth. And the dog. Which dog was Jen? Which dog is hungry?
Mala. That's- Mala was being very mala, as we would say in Spanish.
Barking, because Mala wants comfort food, too. I get that. I have two chihuahuas, as you all know. One of them is completely food motivated and a food manipulator. Like, only will beg for food knowing that I fed her, but Grace doesn't know it. It's a thing. I respect it. All right, we're up to our number one choices here. These are the comfort foods that get us through the tough times, maybe help us celebrate the good times, or just are there for us when we need them. And we have reached the list. It's been so fun doing this here. Hope you all out there enjoying the journey. And I'm sure you have your own choices. So don't forget to find us. We'll tell you where to find us later. Tweet out your pictures. Tweet out your comfort foods. We could even try to use a hashtag other center comfort foods to find it. That's a long one, but it might work. We want to put on this conversation too. And we'll say this. We can't wait to get back to talking full time about the galaxy far, far away. But even on our acting episode this week, so much engagement from y'all. Not just about, hey, I'm learning things about you all, but you guys have your own thoughts on what you like in acting or actors. And I'm sure you're going to have thoughts on food. So let us know.
I need consistency photos of macaroni and cheese. I need it. And it's fine. It's all fine to disagree. I want to see real creamy. I want to see real soupy. Show me your mac and cheese.
And food is all, it's very personal and everything. And I've learned that over the years. Like I said, I've been quite frankly just a jerk about In-N-Out in the past. I've tried to pull off that because I don't want to take joy from anyone from their point of view. And talking about the stuff we do, the themes of Star Wars here in Force Center has helped me talk about food better. So there you go. There you go. All right. We're going to go number one, but we're going to work our way to Jennifer being the last to give her choice here. I'll go first, Joseph. This one, Jen, you mentioned it. And you mentioned it, but you didn't combine it directly with the thing that makes it my number one choice. My number one comfort food. I thought about this. I thought about what the thing I want that, or ooh, brings me joy. And I love sharing it with people. It's a staple in a lot of friendships. My pal, Matt Key, my friend, Joe Ruggiero, former guest here in Force Center. That's like, hey, want to go get. And that is chips and salsa. And it's an N. It's not an N. Chips and salsa. I love Mexican food, or at least what the Burbank chain restaurant version of Mexican food is. I know it's different around the world. I own that, but going to tequilas, the Don Cucos, you got me. And I walk in, sometimes it's a table for one, and I say it with a big proud smile, and I have I've done, much like with the garlic cheese toast, I've sat down and had so many baskets of chips and salsa that I have no room for the food when it finally shows up. Or I push aside the fajitas or enchiladas or burritos or tacos, and I just keep eating the chips and keep dipping into the salsa. I also dip so much, I am a hog when it comes to it. You need a second bowl of salsa when you're with me because I spoon it out with the chip. It's not a light dip. It's not a suggestion. It is a spoon of salsa that often ends up. I take pictures. I think some of my earliest Instagram pictures are me documenting my table or placemat after I'm finished with chips and salsa and the person across me. One looks like a Civil War battlefield. The other one looks like a Stepford Wife house. I am messy. Unabashedly, it gets on my shirt. And a lot of times I'll look down and I'm like, how did that get there? And Grace or whoever matter, and we'll be like, well, let me explain it to you. I'll explain the silence of the science of your chip dip. It is chaos, but it is joy. And it is when I'm down, sometimes it brings me up. And when I'm up, it keeps me going. Like it's a thing. I'm definitely a restaurant person in the sense of, and I'm not a fancy, I'm the opposite of a fancy restaurant person, but I don't know, Joseph, you've been around me too. It's like, I kind of like the old, it's like the Pablo Picasso, the Paul McCartney song about Picasso, drink to me, drink to my health. Like all my friends around a table, chatting, drinking, eating. It's one of my favorite things. And going to have chips and salsa with me and a full meal is a thing I love to do with folks. And I feel bad for them that they have to watch me devour it like a bear stumbling over the campsite. But it's my favorite thing. And that is my number one comfort food, chips and salsa.
I want to see the more Instagram photos of your placemats. Like, I'm really a big fan of sort of like found art. Like, just the way something happens to splatter is beautiful. Like, artists are trained and they should make creative choices. But there's also just a beauty. The same way you see like a tree that's just like gnarled and going in strange directions. I want to see your Picasso salsa splatter as art.
Yeah, This is great. That's something I got to do. I'll re-release some of the photos, but I'll definitely make some new ones. That's what I'll do. Jen, you had chips on earlier, and I was like, oh, we're dangerously close to my number one choice, but this was a kind of specific thing here. But I imagine a chip fan from, like you are, is not far from the choice.
I'm saving it for my number one because it kind of goes hand in hand. But I will say this, you and I together, oh my gosh, it would be like a salsa massacre because I'm the same way. It's like a ladle. The chip is like a ladle, just me spooning in the salsa. And yeah. I have to have my own salsa bowl because otherwise my family's like, where is all the salsa? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and you just have to own it when you sit down. And there's one place that we used to go to, and then they're still going, but COVID kind of changed our habits. Grace doesn't eat the same food as much anymore. So it's like, we didn't go there as much, but I finally found a Mexican restaurant that when I showed up, they were like, that's the dude that needs two bowls. And he's back. And then they would put it on the table with a sly smile, like looking at me, like, we know what you need. Monster. Yeah.
That's comforting. Knapsack. Yep.
Yeah.
I assume you're both if they offer you options for the salsa, I assume you're not neither of you are mild people. Do you ask for extra spicy? Are you just connoisseurs to just take whatever they put in front of you and find out if you like it?
Yeah. I think that's a good way to live through life. I am a medium. I do love occasional spice. But it doesn't. I don't sit well with me. It's a vague, if not disgusting, but it's something I got from my mom. My dad, like I said, like he's got this is the 2 billion Scoville unit sauce, and it'll rip through his soul. And to the point, like I said, his doctor has been like, "You've got to stop." So that ain't me. But I can't go super spicy. But I do like the kick. So medium with me, occasionally mixing. And I like all consistencies. My dad makes a very good, it's like a little family recipe of salsa that I keep asking him to give me, and he won't do it. So I got to question that. But it's a very fresh, more pico de gallo version of it. He said in the accent of a very much Burbank white guy.
no, I was
pico
impressed.
Pico de gallo.
Pico. Can I have the pico de gallo? But I'll take any or all, and I'll try it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like it. I don't love it. I need to be mild for my general constitution. But maybe we should all go for chips and salsa, and I can get, instead of salsa, a bowl of clam chowder. Dip the chip in the clam chowder.
This is awesome.
Oh, that's funny. Oh,
that's important.
I like that. I like that image.
I am close to probably going to get some chips and salsa myself soon because I've talked about it. But Joseph, what is your number one choice for comfort food?
My number one will be absolutely no surprise to anyone who has listened to the podcast for a long time because it comes up. Ken and I did an episode of his podcast, Life Ranked, about it. I post pictures about it almost every time I eat it. So, yeah. Sometimes it's a few too many times in the week, so I don't do back-to-back photos. But it is frozen pizza in general, but yes. Very specifically, Tombstone frozen pizza, ideally pepperoni. And sausage. And I'm trying to enjoy the Tombstone while I still can, because I think, ironic for their name, they are slowly dying.
Oh, no.
Oh, they are trying, but their footprint, even at the places that still carry them, in LA, it's mostly Target and Ralph's, and that's about it, to my knowledge. And they're slowly getting even smaller, pushed out. By the California Pizza Kitchen in the Newman Zone.
Newman Zone. Come on. He's salad dressings. What's he in the pizza section for?
They are actually, I've been going to Newman Zone because they are actually, they hurt less.
Oh, really?
It's a little healthier. It's a little healthier and I can taste it. I'm like, that's salt, but not mystery things. Tombstone is full of mystery things, and I begin to taste that more and more as I get older. I was really resonating what you were saying about your sandwich, Jen, about that you go there when it is you had a victory and this is a celebration, or you go there when you're bummed out and this is a consolation. I think that's part of it for me with the frozen pizza. It's everything. When I was, living at home, it was a very once in a while treat food, very associated with my dad because he was a frozen pizza monster. So it was one of those things when I moved out of like frozen pizza night is the rarest, greatest explosion of joy on a random Friday night, a surprise that I didn't know was coming. And, when I moved out, I really wanted to be like, why can't every night be surprise joy night? So yes. I started eating frozen pizzas a lot. And somehow over all those years, they haven't lost the sense of excitement and fun and choice of I'm an adult and I can do this. But I've also had them so much in so many settings. They're also just comfort. But for me, like a fabulous night will be doing some sort of a show with friends. The show goes well. It's exciting. It's fun. Then you have a party afterwards and maybe you're need to soak up the alcohol a little bit. Maybe not. That's fine too. But get home at like 2 a.m. and make a frozen pizza. And it's this perfect intersection of adventure and comfort. I could go on and on, and I have, and I will again, but for now I'll stop there. It's just this perfect combination of adventure and thrill, and the absolute most comforting food I can ever taste is a Tombstone frozen pizza.
It's not just a chance for me to advertise, but I'll dig up the episode is still live on my feed. The Knapsack Network is what emerged from the Knapsack Files, but it's one of and you and I just still kind of just knew each other, right? It was early on in our working relationship. So it's a Life Ranked episode. Joseph brought five reasons to love frozen pizza, and it was amazing. It's amazing. It's something that's a very much a part of who you are, and it rings true. So maybe we'll repost that as well, so y'all can go listen to that because it's wonderful. It's wonderful and it's real. Yeah, and I still much like I really do want you and Sarah to co-author and publish a book of cocktails and cocktail photos.
I
really think you and frozen pizzas have a lot of work left in the world.
I made one last night. I had to stay up extremely late trying to download a file, trying to finish this short film, and I cut it very poorly and very sloppily, and I took a photo of it, and like, that's me right now.
Do you have pizza scissors?
I do not have pizza scissors. I have a couple different rollers, and sometimes I just use a knife. It's just a kitchen knife.
And there's probably something maybe organic, flowing in the knife or the roller. And I have a good roller too. But my dad did get Grace and I pizza scissors about a year ago. And I will describe it as a life-changing utensil.
Yeah, I just love the absurdity of it. It sounds like something, Bugs Bunny would use to attack Elmer Fudd.
They're big and you slice it under it makes it all even more fun. I'll say that.
I'm so excited for the new adventure, the new dawn that is pizza scissors.
Pizza scissors, the new dawn of pizza scissors. Jen, this has been a wonderful time. This has been a wonderful show. Been a lot of fun, laughs and truths all around. But what is your number one comfort food choice?
My number one comfort food choice is Mexican food. Yeah. It has to be. I mean, it's comforting because it reminds me of growing up, although my mom never cooked Mexican food. She cooked just like beef stroganoff and meatloaf. But when the family would get together, I'd be like, oh, my family can cook. Why can't my mom? But like all my aunts could make, tamales, menudo, carnitas, carne asada. My mom, I don't know, maybe she was rebelling. I don't know what happened. But we'd also go out to Mexican restaurants. And there was nothing for me like a Mexican restaurant, which was kind of taken away from me during COVID. But it is so comforting when you get in that cushy booth. Like you said, Ken, they bring you the salsa and the chips and the water. I look over the margarita menu. What am I going to get now? Right. Yeah. And there's nothing I usually will get. If I'm going to go healthy, I'll get a tostada, which is like a crispy shell. That's my healthy.
It's healthy. Yeah.
It's healthy. Yeah. Yeah. It's got some lettuce. Mm-hmm. I do like, I used to always like cheese enchiladas when I was a kid. I've grown to like enchiladas suiza, which has like a green sauce. I'm not a tacos person. For me, that's not comforting. I'm always hungry afterwards. If it's tacos and like rice and beans, that's a meal for me. But just two tacos? No, my husband can have that. And I'm like, aren't you still hungry? For me, my comfort is a wet burrito with the green sauce topped with melted cheese. And there's a place by USC off of Vermont called La Barca. And it's like the colossal burrito or something. It's gigantic. You can't eat it all there. I mean, you could. I have. But you don't want to. I don't recommend it. And they have these gigantic, cheap margaritas. They make them strong. Highly recommend it. Mm. That is my comforting place.
Oh, man. Yeah. Clearly, we're synced up on our ideas here towards the end. It starts with the chips and salsa. And I could end there, but then you can get the rest of these meals. Yeah. There's a restaurant that's not a Mexican restaurant in my hometown. It actually overlooks the beach. It's on a cliff, specializes in seafood. But they have, for whatever reason, a burrito there that is so large. I haven't had it in years, but every time I would finish it, a waiter would come over to me and be like, I've never seen anyone finish that. And I'm like, why would they not? This is just an amazing burrito. It's kind of everything you're describing, Jen. It's just the... It's a whole thing. It's atmosphere. And we could run down a list of our favorite ones in L.A. One of my favorites is the El Cholo, the original, which is on Western.
That's great. Yes.
We go to that one. Yeah. It's a good spot.
It's a thing. Yeah. And I'm making jokes about, here I am, this white man in Burbank. And so I totally get there's different versions, different, more authentic styles. But there's just something about, a chain restaurant that you stumble into. And it feels like comfort to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Casa Vega, I really like.
Ooh, Casa Vega's good.
Yeah, there's a place in our neighborhood, La Velita Cantina. They get mole enchiladas that are amazing. Yeah.
Oh, Gala Getza's very good about their mole. They're like Oaxacan food, if you like that. Very authentic. I'm not so much of a fan of mole. My husband loves mole, but for me, I really like the tart, the tang of like a tomatillo kind of sauce. That for me is more my thing, but
yeah.
Well, oh,
I'm inspired to experiment, because I want to, taste things that you guys like, but I have wanted to order a wet burrito simply for the comedy of it for years. My loud Midwestern accent. I would like a wet burrito, please. I wanted to do that because it's one of those like, I get it. But come on, wet burrito, what? Yeah. Like, not poking any fun. Because every culture has like how did we arrive at that name?
Yes,
right.
So be it. But I'm going to try a wet burrito and in honor of this episode.
Well, yeah,
it'll be all you need.
Part of the four center field trips that we need to take now. Thought about it is I really want to agree with you, Jen, on the taco thing. I love tacos. I love going on taco crawls. Our friend Dorina sets those up every now and then. Mm-hmm. We go on the love tacos. But when it comes to going to a restaurant like we're describing here, the tacos to me are a side dish. They're an appetizer. Occasionally, I'll use them as dessert. The enchiladas, burritos, everything else comes first. And a taco on the side. So I'm with you.
That's right.
Except for you, the Puesto. Jennifer, have you been to Puesto?
No, where's that?
It's in Anaheim, and it vexes me. It curses me because it's fabulous. They have like great tacos that are really really stuffed. So I'm always cocky, like I'll get three, I'll still be hungry, and like I have walked out of there uncomfortably full. It's really really great. It's right by the convention center in Anaheim, and when Star Wars Celebration was there in 2022. I tried so hard to get people to go to Puesto, and it just never worked out. So now I have Puesto fury in my gut.
Look, that you could blame me because number one, I wanted to go to Tortilla Joe's at Disney City Walk.
That was great. I had no problem with that.
I made you go. Made you and Brian Ward go. Then I made you and Brian Ward go to Bubba Gump Shrimp. I'm a restaurant hog, and I'm the problem. I'm the problem.
You're not the problem. Those were both strategically located. I had clam chowder at Bubba Gump's. Shit. It was great. A happy memory. It's one of those things that just didn't work out. Everybody, 800 people making plans together. But I want to. If we're doing field trips, I'm putting Puesto in the ring.
I like it.
There you go. Wow. We're hungry. We've had a lot of we hope you're listening are hungry and have a lot of ideas and thoughts. No need to disagree and shame food choices. Celebrate yours. Maybe be quizzical about ours or share the joy in ours. We'd love to hear about that here today. So we're almost out of here now. Other Center has been very fun so far. And hey, we can't wait to get back to talking about the other things, the Star Wars stuff that we love. And we're confident that we'll get to do that again, hopefully get to do that again soon. So we'll keep you updated on that, our position on that, and the strikes as well. Hopefully producers and studios can come back to the table and negotiate with those unions. Much like, you know, Teamsters and UPS seem to do real fast when they wanted to. So a movement over there as well. So that's it for today. Our look at comfort food. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Threads at Force Center Pod as well. Though I did have a login problem the other day, so I got to fix that and see if everything's okay so I can get back into that account. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well, where you can listen over there. We will be doing some live shows, not this month, July. We had to take an unexpected hiatus, just a lot of life things getting in the way, and we want to make sure we're in the right spot to, you know, cover things and talk about things in the right way. So we'll be back next month over there. You can follow us there. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Get into our Discord where the, the discourse over food is going to be popping. I have some opinions over there. Follow me at Kednapsock. Go to Kednapsock.com for more information. Other things I do, stand-up comedy dates out and around this great nation of ours will be announced soon with me and Mark Ellis hitting the road. So that's me. Jen, where can they find and follow you?
You can find me on all the social media platforms at Jennifer Landa. I feel like I'm ramping up right now. As you can hear, I'm in like this menagerie with children and animals. So things are a little quiet for me on social media, but I'll be ramping up hopefully in the next couple of weeks once school starts and I get my time back.
Joseph, we know that you probably need some time back too because you've been busy making a wonderful short film, but where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, I'm on so many social medias trying to find a real solid replacement there for the site formerly known as Twitter. But you can find me on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, all those places, at Joseph Scrimshaw. Just about done with that short film that I've been working on. But the other short film that I made before, The Narrator, starring Phil LaMarr, is playing at the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology. If you're in the general Portland area or going to that festival, that is on Saturday, August 5th, that my film is showing. So I'll be posting about it more on social media.
And I'll say this, I accidentally saw The Narrator. And it was wonderful. Oh. I had to do a little test, a little password test, Joseph. I don't want to reveal too much. But so I was like, well, and I'm not joking here. I've got a frozen burrito I just made. I'm going to sit and watch this while I eat it.
Oh, you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh, that's great. Wow. That's great. I'm so glad. Thank you for testing the link.
Yeah, so check that out when you all get a chance to see it. All right, that is it for this week. Life has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.